8 a.m. Let's move on with the nation's big conversations here now. Every day, South Sudan imports food, medicines, household goods, fuel, and other products from neighboring countries and beyond. But how do we know that what enters the country is safe and meets the required standards? Now, that responsibility falls largely on the South Sudan National Bureau of Standards, which tests, inspects, and certifies products and conducts surveillances to keep substandard and counterfeit goods off the market. But the Bureau also faces questions about its capacity to test the huge volumes of imports entering the country, particularly at busy border points. So how does that system work? Where are the gaps and what is being done to strengthen this? Joining us is Deputy Head of Metrology Laboratory at the South Sudan National Bureau of Standards, Sunday Isaac Dongreen, and Quality Manager of the South Sudan National Bureau of Standards, Garang Mayor Nyariel. Good morning and thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Garang Mayor Nyariel, Quality Manager at the Bureau of Standards.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Isaac Sunday Dongreen. I'm the Deputy Head of National Metrology Lab, South Sudan National Bureau of Standards.
Right. Both of you are welcome to the Miraya Breakfast Show. Let's start with Garang. Before we get into the challenges, just take us through what happens when a consignment of imported goods arrives at the border. What does the Bureau actually do before those products reach to South Sudan markets?
Thank you once more. So first, when the consignment reaches the border, it's one of the two. First, it would normally come if it's come from a country of import where we have an agent through what we call a PVOC exercise. Or if it comes through one of the partner states, which normally comes with a permit. So if it's coming from Iran here, it would undergo an assessment. It would visually be inspected based on the risks that are available, tested if it's necessary. And what I mean by that is we use a risk-based assessment. For example, if you're getting maybe a pair of clothes, you know, that could only be visually inspected.
Okay.
But if you're
talking, what do you look out for when you're visually inspecting this?
The standards. Because if we're looking at clothes, we may not be as detailed as when we're looking at food.
Right.
So in the matter of clothes, we can visually inspect them. If it's a matter of food, it can be visually inspected. We take the samples, we'll test them, you know, and retain the sample. And the results would then influence the decision made henceforth.
So does this happen for every consignment that
every
gets in?
Every consignment that gets in. But it has an exception. The exception is we have something we call the PVOC exercise. So the PVOC exercise is the pre-verification of conformity, where if a product is, for example, leaving India per se, it's a food product. Normally there's agents that have been trusted through an agreement with the Bureau of Standards,
right,
where they would go inspect before the consignment leaves, sample it, test it, and supply us with this necessary evidence that it's safe. So when that exercise is undertaken and the consignment comes in, that one can be fast-tracked and it comes. Yeah. Whereas if it doesn't, if those documentation don't accompany the consignment, we are to test it,
right,
make sure that it conforms.
So what are the chances that those documents can be fake?
Well, they have a verification methods. Normally would have a portal. So whichever agent that is entrusted with their responsibility before the consignment even leaves would have to go there, inspect, supply the inspection, take the sample, go and test it, supply the results,
right,
and then those one will be kept inside the portal. That is before the consignment
which
even
you
leaves.
Have access to from
exactly.
here.
And then we can give it a go ahead to start moving.
Right, yeah. Right. So does every consignment get physically tested? Like I just imagine now, like, the Nimula border is very busy. That would take a huge team.
Yeah.
Do you practically do this every day?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's bring in your colleague, Sunday. When you say you test a product for quality, what are you actually looking for?
Yeah, thank you once again, Irene Lasso. When we are looking for measurable characteristics, in that demonstrate whether the product meets the requirements of the applicable standards, it depends on the product. This can include composition, purity, contamination, physical and chemical characteristics, microbiological safety, packaging, quantity, and labeling. Quality testing is therefore not not simply a virtual judgment. It's an objective technical assessment against defined requirements. So all the products that comes in through the Numuli border get physically checked, and then sampling is conducted, and then they are tested, and then they, when they are found to be of the standards that we need, of the quality that we need, then we clear them inside.
Right. Since you have sounded very technical, just use an example of an ordinary good, like, for example, maize. When the maize come in, what is it that you're looking for?
Yeah, when the maize comes in, like now, South Sudan is merely relying on Ugandan's products. And those maize that's coming from Uganda, most of that we all know, most of them are affected with aflatoxin, and that is what we are much focusing on, because the level of aflatoxin in Uganda is very high, because you know, aflatoxin involves it involves a lot of things, like when you are harvesting it and you have not dried it well, the mold will devolve, and then it get it get infected, and that is what we are focusing much on when it comes to maize coming from Uganda.
Right, and what about the cooking oil?
The cooking oil, we are looking at the physical, at the purity, we are looking at the contaminants inside, and then those are the things we are very much focusing on, and those are the things that we are testing now at the Numuli border and in our central lab.
Yeah, but do we have packaged water coming in from outside, or is this all domestically produced?
Right now, not only on, they are domestically produced here in South Sudan.
All right. So how do you go about the quality control here?
Yeah, the quality control here, we are testing them at our central lab. That is the highly specialized laboratory in South Sudan right now. And we are testing not all the chemical parameters, but we are testing some of the chemical parameters. And, and those are the things we are doing for all these water factories that are in South Sudan right now.
Right. And Gerang, if a product has passed through the border and is on a shelf in one of the shops in Juba, how confident can I be that it has met South Sudan's quality and safety requirements?
So product's quality is subjected to change based on environmental conditions.
Right.
And after, when the consignment comes in and they already dispatch and they come into the market, we have a market surveillance team. So periodically we would have teams going around checking on these shops and these warehouses to make sure that the quality remain consistent, because sometimes, for example, he's talking about maize and aflatoxin, and most likely when it's imported here and it's not properly stored, you know, it can heighten this aflatoxin.
Right.
And therefore, the market surveillance team works around that to making sure that the people in the market are well informed about storage conditions, also checking the quality to make sure that it's still safe for consumption. And on matters of expired products, making sure that they're off the shelves.
Right.
Yeah.
So we both agree that South Sudan imports huge volumes of goods through multiple entry points.
Yeah.
Does the Bureau currently have the laboratories, equipment, personnel, or resources to test the volume of products entering the country on daily?
So for now, the Bureau is struggling with infrastructure, but we have the staff competence, and all the entry points, it results into a significant delays of trade, where if a consignment comes in from somewhere like Nadapal per se or Poge, where we do not have the lab infrastructure that we have in Numuli, it would be subjected to the sample being collected, sent, tested, and then the product is released, which create a lot of downtime and becomes a trade barrier in itself. And we are still constantly advocating to make sure that the Bureau gets the necessary funding to be able to expand on in infrastructure around all these other entry points and therefore help in facilitating trade faster.
Right. Sander, just bring us to speed. What can your labs currently test for, and what are you unable to test for right now in South Sudan?
Thank you once again. What we do test right now in Numili border and in Juba is like I said, mentioned earlier about the cooking oil and the maize flour. We are testing them, aflatoxins level, the purity, the contamination, and the packaging. And then also in our central lab, we are testing varieties of things. And right now, with our current leadership, we are going to be testing for the fats level, and then the fibers. We are going to be testing soon rather than later.
Right.
And we were focusing most on aflatoxin also within, because as you just mentioned before, that physically inspection is not a guarantee when we do it at the border, and testing at the border is also not a guarantee that the product is safe. So we have a team that goes inside, also in the market, inspect. If there is some kind of suspicion, to collect the sample, to bring the sample in our central lab, and we verify and we test the quality and the safety of those products.
Right. Would you like to jump in here?
Yeah, I think to add on to that, and in relation to your question, in simple terms, we test oils, we test soluble fats, protein, sugar levels, aflatoxin in milk, biscuits, cereals, beans, lentils, wheat flour, corn flour, all of this stuff. I think for the average listener, it would give them a scope of what we test.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
In simple terms.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you work with the people? Like, how do you get tip-offs? Do you get those from the, like, for you to decide that, let's now send a team on the ground?
Mm.
Do you work with the people?
So we have multiple stations, and we are in constant engagement with our public and security agents. So we normally have the routine general checks that normally happens, and we also rely on market intelligence to be able to get information on which areas and which specific companies to target when we get any info on malpractices as such.
Right.
Yeah.
And what happens? How do you act? How do you then act on that information?
So first is, once we get that information, we'll dispatch a team, and the team would then do a thorough investigation on what would have led to that, and then would issue a corrective action.
Mm.
Yep.
Right.
On how to avoid that going forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you then confiscate the products that you find on the ground?
Straight away.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, you're listening to the Miraya Breakfast Show, and this is where the nation's big conversations begin every morning right here on Radio Miraya. My name is Irene Lasso, and of course I'm happy to be joined by the Deputy Head of Meteorology Laboratory at the South Sudan National Bureau of Standards, Sander Isaac Dongreen, and the Quality Manager at the South Sudan National Bureau of Standards, Garang Mayor Nyariel. And of course they're taking us through the works when it comes to quality control. In just 30 seconds, we'll be listening to the news headlines here on the Miraya Breakfast Show, and we'll then definitely continue with the conversation on the same. Good morning. Do stay tuned.
This is where it begins. Life goes on, with or without you. Damn it, baby. What you gonna do? You could go on, you could stay. Miraya Breakfast Show, the best way to start your day. 101 Miraya FM.
Oh, yes. Welcome back. 28 minutes to the top of the hour. Well, this is where the nation's big conversations begin every morning. Well, every day, South Sudan imports food, medicines, household goods, fuel and other products from neighboring countries and beyond. But how do we know that what enters the country is safe and meets the required standards? Well, we have the officials on the ground in the studio to bring us to speed on how this matter works. Now, Garang, despite inspections, substandard and sometimes unsafe products still appear in South Sudanese market. Where is the weakness in the system?
When we talk about challenges that we are facing as an institution,
mm-hmm.
is that South Sudan is a big country with a lot of porous borders. And as we speak now, we only have two laboratories, one at NIMLI and the central lab in Juba.
Right.
And we have been advocating for more investment to be able to extend and build upon our infrastructural capacity, because now you would have to have a consignment dispatch from Gogmashar, for example, if that is in northern Bahr El Ghazal. And if the inspection team has picked up anything there that is worth testing, you would have to travel for days for it to come to the central lab.
Right.
You know, the lab infrastructure that is here now is so much inherited from the Sudan. And the equipment that are there are all donated by NGOs. So we call upon our government to be able to help us in that capacity and invest more in our capacity to execute our mandate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and somebody would also want clarity if you think that this could be also stemming from maybe laboratory testing, customer clearances. Do you think some bureaucracies may be coming from there?
Well, our work being scientific is actually quite straightforward. A sample comes, it's inspected, it's looked at, it's tested, and then the results determines the decision that is made from there.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people, you can't stop people from thinking that maybe there's a bit of corruption or some of the officials can be tipped off and then they can latent the substandard goods to come in. How do you make sure that the bolts are tight?
Corruption is a natural thing in humans.
Are we accepting it?
Yeah, but what we could do as managers and as leaders is to put controls in place to making sure that there's checks and balances. For example, now as we speak, the kind of equipment that we have at our main laboratory in NIMLI, of which most of this comes in, is that when a consignment comes, you know, it's tested, the results are digital, which means you cannot manipulate them.
Right.
It has to come out printed by that specific machine that is testing it, and therefore it's attached to the result.
Mm.
That is on the NIMLI side. Also, there has been allegations of people being tipped up and bribed for to change samples on the way. So we had introduced a control mechanism where normally the one who moved the sample does not have access to the sample. So for example, the inspection team would be inspecting the product and then they would collect the sample. It would be put in a box, the box is locked.
Handed to another person.
Yeah, it's put in a box, the box is locked. The two keys, one the inspector would have, one, the lab technicians that receive the samples at the lab would have.
Right.
So make sure that that is not changed somewhere here in the middle.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So that's a control mechanism that is now in place.
And Sunday, would you like to jump in?
Yeah, I want to add one thing to what you just said. This process is not one institution issue or one stage issue. The entire process actually is, it involves the importations, the importers, and then the conformity assessment, who is us, and then also the customs procedures, and then transportation, distribution, wholesale, and until the retailer. So the weakness here, up to the market surveillance, So the weakness that we have at this point is to create opportunity for non-compliance good to be reached, to reach the consumers. And then we therefore need a stronger interagency. Because if we leave all these things for Bureau of Standards alone, it will not work. Because as you just mentioned, the bureaucracy is too much. Like for instance, let me give you a live example. Bureau of Standards can test the product, but first, before it is tested, it has already passed through the custom. Custom has come in first, then do their inspection, do their duty charges, and then the for instance, the importer pays, and then it comes to a standard. The standard rejected.
And then you turn it down.
Yeah. So now, who is responsible here? Who is the problem now? So after it has been rejected, and you know our country doesn't work at night, it can find its way in because customers already charged and they don't want to return back the money.
Right.
And this is where the problems come. So it needs interagency coordination. A standard should be the first. And then the other institution comes in. If it is good, you come and charge. If it is not good, it has to be destroyed.
Thank so you. Why isn't that the order?
Yeah, why is that the order?
Why isn't that the order where you come in first, clear the goods, and then they can get into customs?
And that's where the bureaucracy is, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Would you like to jump in?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation. It have kept coming up in the last few conversations we had had on how disorganized the whole process and procedures are. Because if we look, we are actually the only community now in East Africa who have not digitalized our systems.
Yeah.
That's first. And second, we have an issue where now the revenue collecting agents of our country even picks some of this revenue in the place of origin of the consignment.
Wow.
Second is once it reached the border, the normal exercise that is known is that we have to first check to make sure that it's good enough to get into our country. And this is one of the things that is aiding smuggling a lot because traders, they don't like making losses.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go there, you collect your taxes in a substandard product and then it gets rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Now you try to find a way to bribe or even smuggle your way in. But whereas if this could be avoided, it's checked, it's rejected without making any losses,
right.
It's returned, mm-hmm. and then you can allocate that fund in making sure that you get a standard consignment.
Right. So what will it take to bring in this the organization?
It's actually an ongoing conversation right now. We had a side conversation about that in the recent conference of the freight forwarders. And
the recently concluded one.
Exactly.
Right.
And we are still engaging with these relevant agencies to see how we can streamline all these processes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Gerang, your mandate also includes market surveillance, like you alluded to earlier.
Yes.
What does that mean in practice? Do you go into shops and markets and randomly test products that have already entered the country, or how does it
yes.
work?
Yes. So, market surveillance is a mandate of the Bureau of Standards. We have teams across all major markets here,
mm-hmm.
and we do shop-to-shop inspections, you know, looking at these products, looking at storage conditions, looking at relevant quality management system in the areas of our local production,
mm-hmm.
and making sure that the products here are checked for expiry and tested if it's necessary.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. Sunday, yes.
Let me add one thing to that, and
please.
Also to complement what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
We do shop-to-shop inspection. We check the labelings, the packaging of the products mm-hmm. in the market,
mm-hmm.
and then also the storage condition. And you might have known that we are very dishonest business people in this country. The product label says that this product should not be stored in the direct sunlight.
Mm.
If you go to Konyakonya now, what happens?
It's displayed out.
All of them are in the direct sunlight.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you ask them, do you know what they tell you?
Mm.
They tell you that we are putting this one for advertising process. Who doesn't know this is a food shop? Everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to come and buy, I know which shop I'm going to buy from. And if you put them in the direct sunlight, and then you hear our publics are complaining, I have ulcers, to the point that now the hospital are cooking the results, the test results.
Wow.
Whereby the food, because they already know all South Sudanese are suffering from ulcers, they are suffering from typhoid, they are suffering from
malaria. By default.
And this happens because we have dishonest business people, and people in the hospital are also dishonest because
mm-hmm.
they are not following their professions.
Right.
So this is where the problem comes in. And this is where Bureau of Standards is facing a lot of challenges.
Mm.
So now we need to have an interagency cooperation. The security must do their part. Standard sets the requirements of the storage.
Mm.
Food has to be stored under this required temperature, and then they have to check.
Right.
If it is not complying, then they give notification to the standard, and the standard does it relevant.
So,
job.
What is the role of the security here?
The role of the security is what they know. Now we have the security personnel like the CID who are moving from shop to shop, and we don't know what they are looking for, and they are overlooking all of this, and that is why they are there.
Mm.
And you know, we cannot tell them what to do.
Mm.
They know what they are doing,
mm.
and they need to make sure that they are patriotic citizens. They need to make sure that they are protecting people's lives
right.
in line with Bureau of Standards.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Now, Gerang, how much responsibility should fall on the importer? Should an importer be able to say, well, I didn't know that this product was substandard? Or is it their responsibility to ensure that what they bring into the country meets our Sudan standards?
I think with the new leadership, there's a change now on how Bureau needs to be operating. And with what we are driving to now is we need what is called a pre-approval. Mm-hmm. Which means that if an importer wants to bring anything into South Sudan, he'd have to come into the Bureau of Standard, and through the digitalization process, he can make that application online, disclose what he wants to bring, and then we can give him the guide. So if it's maybe an electronic product, it can be type approved, or if it's a food product, we would then give him a step-by-step guide on making sure that he's getting what is the right product within the standards.
Right, so so the pre-approval comes from the Bureau.
It's not there yet, but this is something to be introduced.
So this isn't the pipeline.
No, it's not.
This is the future. Yeah. We're speaking the future.
Exactly.
So in how long do you think it will come into play? Will we be too ambitious to think?
No. It's just a process. We're talking of within the scope of this year.
Right.
Because with all this, the only delay as we speak is the bureaucracy, where you need to get approval there, because as we speak right now, the National Quality Infrastructure Policy is not even passed as a law. The food safety policy is still not.
Mm-hmm.
So with all these procedures, they need approval.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Sunday, there is also a balance to strike here. You want to stop unsafe goods. But again, you don't want legitimate imports unnecessarily delayed or made more expensive. How does the Bureau strike that balance?
Yeah, the answer that I would say is a smarter regulation rather than unnecessary bureaucracy.
Mm.
And inspection intensity should be proportional to risk. We should base our inspection on risk analysis and risk-based products. And, With a strong business with a strong history of compliance,
right,
should be processed efficiently. And as I mentioned earlier, that we have a lot of dishonest business people. And what is wrong with our laws in this country is that they are reactive but not preventive. Because what would allow the government agencies that are operating in the quality infrastructure arena to allow substandard products to come in from that business person repeatedly. Because if a law is preventive, you will import bad products, they get rejected, they get destroyed, and your license got revoked.
Yeah.
And then you go to prison.
Right.
If you come back later on, you'll have to be a smarter businessman, be a honest business person, and then supply things that are of great importance to the people of this country.
Right.
And also, we are not protecting people alone. We are protecting the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Because the environment we live in contributes a lot to our well-being.
Mm. Right. Thank you so much. Now, Sunday, if the Bureau had the resources that they needed today, what is the first thing that you guys would change about the Bureau's testing capacity?
We will expand the scope of the testing capacity. We will make sure that all the areas are explored, and you know, Bureau of Standards is an institution that cross-cut all the sectors of economy in this country, and if it is incapacitated like right now, the government need to invest, and if the government invest, we will make sure that all the areas of our economy are explored,
right,
from the oil and gas sector to telecommunication sector to energy sector. Now, our people are complaining also with JETCO. We are not only about the product coming in, we are complaining about JETCO.
Even services.
About services of JETCO. And do you know why?
Mm.
They are not following the standards. And our standards is not regulating it because we don't have the capacity. And that's why the new leadership...
So you don't have the powers over them.
The new leadership is working very hard to make sure that this scope is expanded. Say that Bureau of Standard regulate all the sectors of economy in this country.
Right.
Say that what you buy is what you get.
Yeah.
Say that the quality you want is what you get.
Uh-huh.
Say that the quality clothes you want to wear should not affect your health, should not affect your well-being.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, Kenan, would you like to jump in?
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation because I always repeat myself on saying that the Bureau of Standard holds the keys of unlocking the true economic potential of this country.
That's true.
And standards applies to everything, you know, from the road building standard code, because we are now having highways that are being washed up by the water, to building collapsing in Isora, as we all know, because we do not have the building standard code, to not even having the exact number of barrels that are leaving our oil field, not knowing which was the last company to calibrate these meters that measures the flow, not also knowing to be exact how many seconds you are being billed for by MTN and Digital and why your debt is disappearing so fast. Also making sure that if you pay $100 to JETCO, you are getting $100 worth of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
That is a cross-cutting. And for the Bureau to be up to that capacity, it needs a lot of investment from our government, and it would be the engine that will drive our economic growth.
Mm. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us this morning. We do appreciate your time. But before you leave, Garang, South Sudan is part of the East African Community and is working towards harmonizing standards with regional and international systems. What does that actually mean practically for a South Sudanese manufacturer or a trader?
So basically what the harmonization drive is that if you are producing here within that standard, you could be 100% sure that it's accepted in DRC, Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Uganda, and all the partner states,
right,
which also is the ambition of the East Africa to integrate our markets and increase our capacity to produce and build our economies. Yeah.
Right, thank you. And Sunday, what assurance do you have to the people who are listening in right now?
Yeah, but first I want to answer one. I want to add one thing to what you just said.
Yes, please.
You know, harmonization of standards, like you just mentioned, is that we need to do one thing for the acceptance of all. And when you harmonize standards, it means the standard is acceptable to be assessed everywhere. And it is not only this side. It's traceable to an international practice.
Yeah.
It's not from the blue.
Mm.
And you know, when one country violates that harmonization, bad things happen to the region. And that's what happened to the fuel that we are just complaining about.
Mm.
Is that Kenya waive a temporary sulfur content levels, not contacting the other regional leaders. The Ministry of Trade and Industry in Kenya does that without consulting Ministry of Trade in South Sudan, Ministry of Trade in Uganda. And now the question I ask my leadership is, how sure will the East African countries know that this waiver will not affect those countries? And then we have another government-to-government agreement that we heard about in the past. This government-to-government was used as a loophole to do that job.
Mm.
And now, when it has already entered into the market, Bureau of Standards, it is their mandate, actually, to make sure that this one. And then our business people, they don't know what exemption means.
Yeah.
And I want to state for the record, exemption is for taxes. It's not for standards. It's not for quality.
Obviously.
Yeah. Whenever, for the people listening outside there, if you know that you have been exempted, make sure that you are exempted from paying tax to South Sudan Revenue Authority, not from testing and standard requirements that are set by South Sudan National Bureau of Standards. And that is where the problem comes.
Mm-hmm.
People got exempted. They say, no, if we are exempted, we are exempted on all. And now when you see, if you are a government, like South Sudan National Bureau of Standards, and South Sudan National Bureau of Standards is doing business.
Mm-hmm.
If you come as Irene Lasso, representing any government agency, to my premises, trying to do an inspection, I have to put in my mind that I'm not a government by now, but you are the government.
Yeah.
And our government agencies don't understand that. If you are operating business and Bureau of Standards comes to your station, for example, make sure that you are a business person.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bureau of Standards that has come is the real government right now.
Right.
So you need to comply. Leave the exemption side, leave that you are you are tied with
but the exemption, I would feel like, has nothing to do with quality control.
It has nothing to do with quality control. It only has to do with taxes, only taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, if a Bureau of Standard tests your product and charge you the thing that we are collecting taxes. Mm-hmm. And this is one thing that we have
problems with. I think it's an education on your part. Yep. You have to educate the people about
yes,
that.
Yes. And that's what we have started. We started 2 months ago, mm-hmm. and we are going on, as you just mentioned before, and when we have to sensitize our people.
Right.
Our people need to know where their life depend on,
uh-huh.
and our people need to know whom are they accountable to. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Because of time, let's just do the last question, the assurances that you have to the people. Now, let me ask Gareng, then I'll come back to you, Sunday.
I think, because we have so many examples that we can discuss, I would like to specifically focus on the fuel issue, to give them a brief history of what it is, how it happened, how we got here, and just not to sound too much alarm.
Okay.
So basically, on the 27th of March, we had a consignment from a boat called MT Paloma that is docked in Mombasa.
Mm-hmm.
A standard procedure normally is that when a fuel boat docks there, it is tested before it gets onto the Kenya pipeline, because the Kenya pipeline is the one that supplies most of us. So on that specific occasion, it was found to have 43 parts per million of sulfur.
Right.
So us as the East African community, we have adopted what we call the gold standard, which is the best of the best when it comes to fuel standards, of keeping sulfur level at 10 parts per million.
Mm.
And what the gold standard means is that we are getting the best fuel from the rest of the world to make sure that we do not pollute our environments. So the higher the sulfur content, the higher the pollution.
Right.
So because on the specific issue of the Strait of Hormuz and the focus on fuel shortages, the Kenyan authorities allow briefly for a duration of time of 6 months to be able to navigate. So it was a trade-off. What do we leave our pipeline dry and have no fuel, or could we relax it briefly so that we can use this fuel, you know, as much as the environmental issue is still there.
Right.
So when it came here into South Sudan, it blew up a lot, and people were talking about a lot of us getting substandard and all that. But when we talk of standard, standards are agreed upon levels of quality that dictate what must be done.
Right.
So the East African Standard was a group of people, like within the communities, that sat down and agreed that we are going to adapt the gold standard, which is the best of the best in the world.
So you all accepted to compromise for that time.
Yeah, exactly. Nah, so when Kenya lifted that, it caused a crowd of chaos with DRC and here and some of the things that... But the people talk of substandard, but they do not know in detail what the actual problem is. And in comparison to other parts of the world, even at 50 parts per million, it's one of the best.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
So it's not substandard per se?
Well, in comparison to the rest of the world, because we are using the gold standard, the best of the best, you know.
Okay.
And gold standard is what the Europeans are using, Australia, Japan.
Right.
Even America is not using the gold standard.
Mm.
And if you look at South Africa and most of the Asian countries, Nigeria, West African, it even goes to up to 500 parts per million of sulfur.
Wow. And that's so acceptable.
Yeah. You know.
Okay.
So it's not as badly as they think it is, because it has caused a lot of alarm. I just want our consumers to be calm.
Mm.
What it would only require now that we have a higher sulfur is that maybe your engine oil would need to be changed more often.
Okay.
Yes.
Right. Thank you for that clarity.
Yeah.
I think our time is done. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Maybe in a minute or two, Sunday, what else would you like to add?
What I would like to add is to our people is that the trust in the marketplace depends on the reliable standards, reliable measurements, and competent institutions. So they have to trust, and they have to help Bureau of Standard do its job to protecting our life and our environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want our government to strengthen other than VS. In investing in it, say that our quality infrastructure is passed and it is implemented, and the government has to invest in this institution so that it does its job to protect our environment and protect our country from substandard products.
Thank you. Sunday Isaac, and thank you so much. And Gareng, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us this morning. We do appreciate your time.